Ladies and gentlemen, would you please take your seats? We are going to start imminently. Is it possible to get the recording going, or is it, are we still waiting? Take your seats, please, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Welcome, everybody, to this afternoon's session of ALAC Work Part 1. We have until 4 p.m., until the next break, and a number of people are coming to see us this afternoon, starting with Maggie Serrat, Vice President of Contractual Compliance, and with her are Jennifer Scott and Victor Hoppenheimer. So I'll hand the floor directly over to Maggie. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Good afternoon, everyone. Maggie Serrat, Contractual Compliance. In addition to Jennifer and Victor, I have with me in the audience the Istanbul staff. This is their first ICANN meeting. I have Zuhra, Sahar, and Salim. And then I also have Jan Agronenik from Risk and Audit Management. Our goal for today is to provide you a very high-level brief update and open it up for Q&A. Before I do that, I would just like to remind everyone, and if your time permits, I know your schedule is hectic, this ICANN meeting. If your time permits, it will be very helpful to have some ALAC representation at the compliance session tomorrow morning, 9:30. And the value of that is to allow discussion and dialogue, because we have representation in attendance from the different stakeholder groups and the public. So with that presentation, please, next slide. Next slide. All right, I can't see, so I'm going to refer to my... Oh, here we go. As you all know, several new contracts and agreements are in place. Ongoing efforts with the contracted parties on alignment and compliance with not only the 2013 RAA, but also with the new registry agreement. Compliance launched a QA process to periodically confirm suspended domain names related to WHO's inaccuracy. This effort was in the design, and this audience, ALAC, provided us with a very good scenario to be able to address some of those issues. We also have contributed to the policy and working groups, which we are bringing to your attention today, because thanks to you, we also have some good data stats to report to you on that effort. The compliance team completed year two audit program. Year two audit program is report will be tomorrow shared at the compliance session. And we will publish the year two report by end of this month. Our team also completed the new registry agreement audit plan and concluded outreach activities with the registry operators. And the objective of those discussions were to make sure that understand the timeline, the expectations, before we launch the audit itself. Next slide, please. I've provided you two slides on the statistics as it relates to complaints for registrars and registries. I would like to remind the audience, when we speak of complaints, it's not necessarily all external complaints. Compliance and ICANN, through monitoring, identifies non-compliance issues or potential non-compliance issues, and we also ourselves log complaints in the tool so that we ensure consistency and follow up and follow through, plus reporting back to the community. So all this complaints here is reflective of non-compliance issues across any activity we do. The next slide, please, is, if you'd go to the next slide, is I want to share with you, this is a slide that we've been working towards. It's been expanded to share with the audience about the registry non-compliance areas. You know, with the legacy TLDs, we really rarely shared with you this slide, but now there is a lot going on. Most of this, I can truly say, 95% of the non-compliance areas here were identified through compliance and through the monitoring tool. When I speak of monitoring, monitoring is several aspects. It's through the technology that we have within ICANN that gives us exception reports, but it's also through the different, thank God, to social media. We, you know, a lot of articles, a lot of marketing, a lot of things that kind of raise the hand on what is it we need to proceed and follow up and follow through on. Next slide, please. With this, I'm going to turn it to Jennifer. Again, we're sharing with you several information, but we will only highlight the areas that are relevant to this audience.
Thank you, Maggie. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jennifer Scott, Manager, ICANN Contractual Compliance, and I'll be sharing with you some lessons learned in the registrar side. This list is with regard to some of the lessons we've learned from registrars since ICANN 49 as they continue to sign on to the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA, and align their practices and procedures with that contract's provisions and specifications. Most specifically, we'll touch on the WHOIS accuracy and abuse reports. Next slide, please. ICANN has seen a lot of effort recently by registrars to align their efforts to come into compliance with the WHOIS accuracy program specification of the 2013 RAA. The specification requires registrars to both verify and validate WHOIS information for new and transferred registrations, as well as those that have a change to the registered name holder, or where there is information suggesting the WHOIS information is incorrect, such as a compliance notice that's been forwarded to the registrar containing a WHOIS inaccuracy complaint. Registrars must obtain an affirmative response from the registered name holder within 15 calendar days of an inquiry, or else suspend the domain until the registrar can verify the WHOIS information. Therefore, beginning with ICANN's second notices to registrars, which are sent after 15 business days, so there's some cushion there for registrars, we inquire of the registrar why the domain name has not been suspended yet. As Maggie mentioned, ICANN has started conducting a QA process where we go back and look at closed complaints that have been closed for suspensions to ensure that the suspension remains in effect. And if not, then we make sure that the WHOIS has been updated. And if updated, ICANN will request the verification and validation piece that's required from the registrar. Next slide, please. Registrars have also been aligning on the new abuse reporting requirements of the 2013 RAA that are contained within Section 3.18. And they've been required to set up abuse handling and reporting procedures, publish abuse report and contact information on their websites and in the WHOIS output, as well as take reasonable and prompt steps to investigate and respond appropriately to abuse reports. Abuse reports must be investigated by registrars, whether they arise from law enforcement or otherwise, and without a court order. Next slide, please. Now I'd like to turn to consensus policy, the Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Procedure, or UDRP. Here are some general UDRP issues. Of particular note is the problem of registrars not keeping the status quo of a registration that is subject to a UDRP and or transferring the registration instead of implementing a UDRP decision, which we hope will be addressed by the upcoming proposed revisions to the UDRP rules, which both define lock and require registrars to institute the lock within 2 business days of being notified of by the UDRP provider of a request for verification in the UDRP. Also, we note that we have reached out to UDRP providers as of June 2013 to ask them to file formal complaints with ICANN, and those complaints are captured by our consolidated complaint tool and can be processed through our formal complaint processing handling. Next slide, please. Next, ICANN has been investigating an increased number of complaints regarding deceptive transfer and domain renewal notices. These notices attempt to trick registrants into taking action at the threat of losing their domain, and when they do take action, they do so unknowingly transferring or renewing their domain with a different registrar. And although ICANN's investigation is still in process, it should be noted that such deceptive notices could be violation of the registrant's benefits and responsibilities. Next slide. One more consensus policy we'd like to touch on is the Expired Registration Recovery Policy, or ERRP. This was something that was initiated at the request of ALAC in November of 2008. And ICANN has since looked at complaints received regarding ERRP or domain renewal issues, both before the implementation and after the implementation of the ERRP on August 31st, 2013. Next slide, please. And here are some statistics based on that analysis, which show that the ERRP is in fact doing its job and is effective. And as you can see from the percentages, the number of complaints post-ERRP implementation have significantly decreased for the same types of domain renewal issues. Next slide, please. And now I will turn it over to Victor Oppenheimer to speak to you briefly about registry issues.
Thanks, Jen. For the record, Victor Oppenheimer, Senior Manager, ICANN Compliance. The purpose of this slide is to provide you with information on areas of opportunities that we've detected since our last meeting in Singapore in terms of volume and severity of the complaints. I'd like to highlight 2 of those, namely the abuse contact data requirement in the registry agreement. Some registries are failing to comply with posting or publication of their contact data, abuse contact data, and so compliance has been sending notices and through the informal enforcement approach, helping the registries to regain compliance with that provision. And compliance also, in terms of the PICs, compliance has proactively reviewing the mandatory provisions in the registrar agreement requiring that a particular provision warning the registrant that abusive behavior or use of domain names for abusive behavior could lead to up to suspension of the domain name. We've noted that some registries are missing also that mandatory provision, and we've been enforcing that provision proactively. That's mainly what I wanted to highlight.
So with that, we'll turn it to you, Olivier, to facilitate the questions, please.
Thank you very much, Maggie. And so the queue is open, and I've already got someone in the queue, Alan Greenberg. I gather, Garth, your name is Sandra Hoferister at the moment. Okay, Alan Greenberg to start.
These microphones have an interesting characteristic. If anyone else in the room pushes the button, mine goes off. So if you don't like what I'm saying,
don't tell them.
I think you'll like it. I'd like to express my delight in a number of things. First of all, that you're now logging all internal complaints so that the numbers tally, which before they weren't. That's appreciated. That gives us a good handle on where things are coming from. I'd like to thank you for the ERRP audit and the results and seeing breach notices because of it. I sometimes wish that they were not only registrars that have three registrations, but some more substantive ones, but perhaps that will come one day. And I'm delighted in the results that are showing that says it's actually helped and the number of complaints are down. I have one more request of something that I'd like you to track, however, and that is explicitly tracking complaints that you close immediately because they're not in your domain. I would like to see a target that you have of reducing those, because each of those are an indication that your FAQs or the website or things like that are not clear. And although I appreciate you wanting to reduce the number of things you can close quickly, I think it's even better if they don't come to you at all because they go to the right place first. So one more request, since you're doing so many other things, but thank you for the stuff that is working.
Thank you, Alan. Next is Garth Bruin.
Garth Bruin, Neurology Chair. I'm going to ask Maggie, mostly because Jennifer and Victor were not in the session in Singapore, and this refers to the session in Singapore. We brought to your attention 10 UDBRP enforcement failure cases, and we wanted to know why the enforcement did not go forward on these 10 cases. And the response at the time blamed problems globally in compliance with issues and communications difficulties. That's a quote from the transcript. And I'm wondering if you can expand on or explain global compliance issues with communications difficulties.
Thank you, Garth. So the quote is partial. If you read the remaining sentence on page 158, it has elaborated a little bit on that. So, but to your point, like any other group, when you are in the process of ramping up, there might be some disconnects. We have addressed them, and what is meant by that, as Fadi shared at the opening ceremony, we're totally global. What does that mean? It means process, systems, communication means, and tracking and templates is all global, which means consistency, and then it's going to bring with it efficiency and effectiveness. For the rest of the question regarding the UDRP cases, I would like to ask Jennifer to provide a brief summary on what that is, and hopefully we'll address that question regarding the enforcement of them.
Thanks, Maggie. I did see the report that was issued in Singapore, so I'm familiar with the 10 cases, so to speak, that you're referring to. ICANN looked at these cases and notes that only for three of them were complaints received at all into the ICANN system. On one of them, a breach was in fact issued and the registrar was terminated, and the other two were processed according to our 1-2-3 system of notifications and dealt with through that process and handled and resolved in that manner.
Jennifer, there is an outstanding case dealing with 35 Technologies in reference to Emerson Electronics China.com. That domain is still held by the registrar, by the registrant, and has not been transferred.
Thank you. I'm familiar with the 35 technology issue that you raise, and ICANN has not received a complaint about that domain name at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. Next on the list is Leon Sanchez.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Leon Sanchez. Regarding the waivers on data related to data loss in Europe, I seem to have the view that this is a tendency that's going to be general in other parts of the world. So is there any roadmap that may revise the RIA in order to address the concerns regarding local data laws that violate in some way the RIA?
Thank you for your question. As you may or may not know, there is a data retention specification in the 2013 RIA, which allows registrars to apply for waivers according to restrictions by local laws. Beyond that, I have not heard of any kind of amendment to the contract. But if you have a local law issue, we would encourage you to apply for a data retention waiver.
Okay, so this will be dealt on a case-to-case basis, right?
That's correct. At this time, we will analyze any applications for waivers we receive.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Leon. Any other questions or comments? Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Not quite sure how to word this. This is an evolving business, and clearly you're both ramping up, being given new responsibilities with regard to the new TLDs and the new RAA. Are you in a position, not necessarily not today, but you know, to talk about lessons learned? You know, without having you to say mea culpa, we didn't do it right to begin it with, or you know. But it would be really intriguing to understand how your philosophy, how your methodology has changed, which you know, clearly if you're doing something better, then you were doing it worse before. But I'm not looking and asking the question to identify what you didn't do right before. But I think it would be send some very positive messages to try to convey how your thought patterns have changed. You know, if you want to say along the way you were right, we were wrong, we'll accept it. But I think that would be something interesting. And you know, we didn't give you a heads up to do it ahead of now. But I think it's something that would be really intriguing. And I think it will also increase levels of confidence, you know, to understand that indeed things are changing. I'm trying to turn it off.
Okay. Whatever you do, don't try and turn it off, because somebody else turning it on will turn yours off automatically. That's how it works. So now I'm not touching it.
There you go. Thank you. It's a microphone game. First of all, you always ask your questions very professionally and respectfully, and we appreciate that. To address Alan's question, it's a very good question. When I first came here in front of this audience, I felt like a dartboard, and everybody was there, boom, boom, right? And it was about what compliance is not doing. We've reported about the activities and the progress, but your question is right on. Now, you know, we're not really contracted parties, but we are vertically integrated in compliance, if I may use this in this forum. Some of the lessons learned, and I clearly can share that with you, to Garth's earlier comment and just an extract of summary of that, and not a summary, an extract of one sentence of a paragraph. The communication issue was a big thing for us. And the communication issue spans across many things. And what we've done to address that is several things. We have what we call, and we record them internally, both video and transcripts. We have internal meetings. We have, we started with daily stand-up calls across the regions. So Singapore, like we say back home, God bless their heart, stays up at 11 p.m. to have a stand-up call with us. What that ensures is that we are handing over and talking and transitioning things properly until that ramping up comes on. With new staff, we've enhanced our onboarding program to be more intense, hand-on, and mentoring to ensure understanding. We cannot afford mistakes because it touches the public. So communication, I have, everyone on staff can tell you. That's why when you ask us in this forum, can we contact you? And I say, yes, compliance@icann.org. Do not send to personal emails. I volunteer my only email but then everything else compliance that I can. Why? We've seen that in many other instances where stakeholders will send to staff, and with everything that's in the way and in their folders in the past, they just get lost. By sending it to compliance that I can, or by sending it through our tool, you have that 24-hour coverage. So this is just some of the samples we've done. It's not the end. We continue to, all the time, review where we can improve. And the nice part is staff is bringing it forward, not I.
Alan, one very short one, then we have to go.
I'll just give one of the measures that I'm going to use in the future to rate complete success. When ICANN recognizes a deficiency that they need to make sure things are working well, and you initiate a PDP. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And Maggie, you referred earlier as compliance originally being a dartboard for at large. I think that you shouldn't see it as being targeted a dartboard. We're more looking at a pin board, in that we pin out the points which we think are of importance for internet end users. Our primary concern is the safety and the well-being of our users out there. 3 billion now, by the way, so there, yes. There's 1 billion more than when we started discussing these matters. It's very encouraging to see what has been done in those years. Keep on working and keep on improving things, and keep on letting us pin things on your board, because whenever we see an issue, we will be sure to actually pin it.
We welcome the pin board, by the way. Thank you, Olivier. We like analogies in this forum. Anything else for us?
Except if you want to start being abused by people, but there doesn't appear to have been any today, so leave while you're up there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So thank you again. Please join us tomorrow, 9:30. We have a lot of reports back to the community, stats, everything else we talked about briefly here. Have a great rest of the day.
And moving swiftly on in our schedule, which doesn't allow for any downtime, we now have 10 cards coming out, 10 cards coming in, and Sally Costerton, Senior Advisor to the President, is coming with also Tariq Kamel, Senior Advisor to the President on Governmental Engagement. And of course, I can see it's all over the place. And the Global Stakeholder Engagement and Regional Vice Presidents are also joining us, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves quickly in a moment. Of course, Sally Costerton is Senior Advisor, also VP of Global Stakeholder Engagement, I believe. If you could please take your position. Where is Sally here? Or?
Sally went out for 2 minutes.
She went out for 2 minutes. So who should we start with? Well, I can see the next person is Tariq Kamel. So welcome, Tariq.
Thank you very much, Olivier, and I'm delighted to be invited to this session for the first time. I know it's not the first time that you invited the GSE team, but I was absent in the previous meetings as such. So thank you for inviting us, and I look forward to a successful discussion. And we can start with the introduction of the regional VPs. Here, start in the back.
So let's start, and let's hope that a microphone is there. Magic.
Yes. Hola. Rodrigo de la
Parra. This is Rodrigo de la Parra. I am Rodrigo de la Parra. I am the Latin America and the Caribbean Vice President. Soy
Vice President for Africa.
Hello, it's Savio Vodea. I'm serving the Oceania region. That's Pacific Islands and Australia and New Zealand.
Hi, my name is Quek, and I'm VP GSE Asia.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, Senior Director of GSE. I help coordinate the regional strategies with the regional vice presidents. And I see Nigel over there.
Yes. It's off. No, it's on. I can hear myself. Sorry. I'm Nigel Hickson. Good to see you. I work out of the Geneva office on international governmental organization engagement. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bahar Esmat, and I do stakeholder engagement in the Middle East.
I'm Benny Malkowski. I cover the UN and the UN mission and the UN system in New York.
Михаил Якушев, по-русски, вице-президент ICANN по Восточной Европе, России и СНГ.
That might be interpreted as a not English language, I believe. We don't have Russian interpretation, but I gather that was Russian. Welcome, Michael.
And Jean-Jacques Sahel, the VP for Europe.
And my colleague Andrea Beccali, also in the Europe team.
Anyone else?
You had to go from back.
We've done the chaps in the back. No, I'm just saying anyone else, because every time there are new VPs for new regions, and I think that's something to note, because it's particularly important. This localization is something that is very important for us. So I'm actually being serious for once, which is great. We still have one more. Okay.
I'm Mandy Carver. I perform a coordinating global coordination role for government engagement.
And she has been promoted very recently to vice president in the last days.
Great. Well, over to you. I don't know, Tarek or Sally, who wishes to start? Sally Costerton, you have the floor.
Merci, Olivier. And this is my official role as Tarek's spokesperson. No, I'm teasing. We're a good team. Thank you. This is always one of my highlights of the ICANN week, and it's great to see you again. Olivier made a great point that actually I would say we maybe have had this session 5 or 6 times, and every time we've been a bigger group, but this is it. We're done now. Basta, as Fadi would say. This is important. We have been spending the last probably nearly 2 years now, actually, capacity building, which for us, the first phase really was literally finding people, the right people in the right places, in the right roles, and then working with the community groups, which we are now, I think, including Jean-Jacques in Europe. We're now underway, and with Michael Yakushev in Moscow and CIS and region, in Eastern European region, we've now completed the starting up phase of all our regional engagement programs. And the Africa team, of course, win the award for being the first out of the gate. Their program is pretty advanced. They had a great meeting here this morning. This room was packed. I personally found that very rewarding. It shows how far we've come. As a group together with you in pushing these engagement issues and making real headway. So the team is not just these team, but it's all of us. And particularly in this part of the community, you have been tremendously supportive, very active in participation in our regional engagement groups, very active in activities like the Meeting Strategy Working Group. We enjoyed many ALAC contributors from that, which is a very important part of our engagement. Not only how do we bring people to ICANN meetings themselves and make sure that as much as possible we create the right space for regional engagement discussions, which I think we now have done. It's not perfect. I think the timings are still a little bit uncertain, but overall we're making good headway. But also how do we take ICANN to the ICANN story to the rest of the world, not at ICANN meetings. So now that we have our team more or less complete, we have some established teams with the community built up. Now we really are in full implementation mode. So the next 18 months to 2 years, as we come to see you, we will be asking for your help, and I think you will be asking for our help more and more as we take our story together to new stakeholders in new parts of the world. One example of that in action is the work that Quek's team in Asia have been doing, pioneering the idea of ICANN seminars, ICANN parallel sessions at events like Apricot in Asia, and very successful. We've had extremely good feedback. We work very closely with the communications team, not just to create the right collateral, the right slides, the right content, but of course to deal with the translation requirements. And one of the projects that we have done, we have explored, also in Asia, to try and find new ways of doing this, is the partnership that we have been going through with KISA in Korea, which is an experiment to create a local translation project. And Kwek, I think, will be able to tell you a little more about that. So as you hear from the team and what they're doing in the regions, I would ask you to not just listen to us, but make sure that now you know who everybody is, and we shouldn't have gaps anymore, that you know who your local regional vice president is. You're banging on his door or her door. I suspect, sadly, they're mostly him. Not that they're not lovely, but not so many she's, more he's. And make sure that you are engaged with them. They will do everything they can to reach out to you, but this is a two-way process, you know. So we're here to be used and here to be helpful. So I think probably in the interest of time, Patrick, we have a slide deck, don't we? Is that how we're going to handle this? Yeah? One for each region. Yeah. Okay, let's go. And then we want to leave time for questions. So I want to make sure there's plenty of time for questions. Tariq, did you want to add anything?
Well, if I could just say, there is actually already a question on the on there, which was the question that I don't know how we jumped to that so quickly, but that was the question which we submitted to the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team, and I'll read it to the record. So, describe the different forms of multi-stakeholder involvement. ICANN model and the Net Mundial model. Obviously, we're well aware of the two different models. But what form of model is the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team promoting? Is it crowdsourcing, working groups, bottom-up? There's been a question on that.
Should we deal with that now? And then we can go to the regional slides. Is that better? But you've had a slide deck from us. That's the only question. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah.
Staff is rather confused. There is a slide deck. It's up to you. Do you want the slide deck first or do you want the question first? All right, let's make an executive decision. Let's do the slide deck quickly. And then we'll do the...
Sorry.
Have you two met?
They really want me to die, don't they? Okay. Going to have another one of this caffeinated drink in a second. Let's have the slide deck, if it's ready, and then we'll go. And you've got a copy of the slide deck, Carol? Well, that's just the question slide. So let's go to the start. Okay, excellent. Let's have the deck, and then we'll go into the questions afterwards, and you have time to think about the answers for the question. Let's go. Thank you. And find a mic or find a roving mic, maybe? That would be helpful. Flying mic, would that be easier rather than taking the whole system apart? Just wondering. I'm sorry, I need another. That's great, thank you.
Give that man a tranquilizer, please.
Yeah. Good name. Okay. Sip. This first set of slides is to describe the model that the GSC team is using. The slides were put together from the GSC team perspective. I think this also applies to how the government engagement team has been built out over the last year. When we started this journey, we were talking about a model of engagement based on circles. And we presented this model in... previous meetings.
At Beijing.
Beijing. And since then, it's evolved. So the next slide describes a slide that was presented at the, I believe this was the Buenos Aires meeting. And we talked about how we would be implementing this into and putting this into practice on the ICANN website. And now we've done that. If you can go to the next one. On the ICANN website today, you can find it's based on a map system, so you could click into the regions and see the types of engagement that's occurring based on either
technical engagement, security training, internet governance discussions, civil society discussions, and regional sessions more broadly. And you can dive into these sessions. It's pulling information from the community calendar, and it's using the information that the community places as well as events that are placed there by the regional teams. And we're doing this from an approach that raises awareness of ICANN activities, activities that are based on the regional engagement strategies, whether that's capacity building or supporting initiatives coming from the regions. The next slide. Sally, we're now turning into the slides that each one of the regional VPs can discuss.
So what I suggest we do, in the interest of time, this group has heard from me before about the overall engagement strategy, which is why we're not spending time on it today. We're now going to get into the detail. If you would like to take me to take questions later about our overall approach, either in this meeting or outside this meeting, absolutely feel free to do so.
Yes, I do. So, Pierre, would you like to talk about Africa?
Thank you. You are talking about success. Well, we do have a few.
I'm sorry to cut you off. If you could introduce yourself when you start speaking because
again,
of the interpretation. Again,
I
yes.
I did it earlier.
No, anyway. Because for the interpreters, if yeah. you're on the Spanish channel, then it's the same person speaking again and again okay. differently. So, sorry, Pierre.
No, it's okay. Pierre Dangino, VP for Africa. So quickly, I want to take you through some of our, I'll highlight some of the work we've been doing, especially some of the projects being implemented, which actually derive from the Africa strategy. We do have a few what we might call flagship projects going on. One of them is this DNSSEC roadshow, which actually allow us to assist countries in actually securing the DNS and the space. And which goes through a few, workshops, but also hands-on, definitely working with the CCTLD registries. We are also involved in what we are calling topical workshops, which are a specific workshop that target, areas such as intellectual property rights, domain name, and branding, for instance, which are a subject that we hardly discuss, in Africa. And that also brought us recently to work with, IP lawyers who actually didn't know about, this domain name. And right now we are having this kind of network of, IP lawyers to discuss these issues and prepare for for the ground. We are also working on, we are kind of partnership with AFTLD, which is the African Association of Top-Level Domain Names and Operators, which is quite good because with them we are actually conducting the DNS forum. Next one is going to be in Abuja in 2 weeks' time. We want to talk about monetization of the domain name system because the Africa strategy actually would like to be supporting Africa in transforming itself into a kind of a market, because that's what it's all about in Africa. We also having projects such as the fellows, or what I might call internship, with the global registrars, where we now have kind of MOU in place with a few of the global registrars will be actually accepting a few interns from Africa. 6 of them will be going by end of this month to affiliates, AFNIC and IP Miro, and we are also planning to continue this next year. Of course, we do sponsor some of the regional events. I'm not going to go through them, but in fact, so far what we've achieved, we actually make sure that ICANN is better known because we also do have our engagement mission in different countries. At least 18 to 20 African countries have been covered out of the 54, engaging with different stakeholders, government, and then business sector, and also civil society. And I think we do have good relationship with at large, I have to say it. And then we are also happy to contribute, you know, to your meetings. And also, so basically to finish, I would like to say that, and that's what I said earlier on when we were presenting, you know, highlights from Africa. I think what we are looking forward to now is building strategic partnership within Africa itself. You know, how do you build capacity relying on what exists already in Africa? Say, for instance, you go to South African Registrar, they are doing quite well. How do we make sure that those examples, you know, are shared, you know, across the board in Africa, and you build capacity? We're also having a few initiatives. For instance, you heard yesterday the signing of this DNS center based in Egypt, and which certainly going to service, you know, all Africa, for instance. So these are a few things we are doing. As we are saying, this is just support from ICANN, but we need to build more partnership around this so that we could amplify, you know, whatever we are doing. So that's basically what I'd like to share. And if you have any questions, I'll be available for that.
Thank you very much, Pierre, and we will be taking the questions at the end in order to save some time. But it is worth noting that Yaovi Atahun, who was an ALAC member from the African region, in Afralo, is with your team now. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, definitely. We do have two managers on the ground. Bob is one of them. He's from based in Kenya, covering Eastern and Southern Africa for the time being. But we'll be hiring certainly someone for Southern Africa. And then for West and Central Africa, we do have your own Yaovi, who's never forgot about, you know, at large, you tell me. So don't worry.
Great. Thank you very much, Pierre. So the next region, if we go to the next slide, please, is Asia. Let's have, is it Quek who's going to be presenting?
Sure.
You.
Thank you. No.
There's a game of dancing chairs. Just make up your mind, please.
Okay, we will. So thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to present some of the work that has been done together. And AP Railo has been a good partner in talking through many of the issues. So just to highlight some of the shared things that we've done, I think for the Asia and Asia-Pacific region, together with Save, we are in a very unique position to both work on the engagement activities as well as expand the Asia-Pacific hub so that we bring more services to the region. So, you know, right before us, we had the contractual compliance team discuss things. I think I'm very heartened and encouraged by the fact that we now have two contractual compliance officers based in the Asia Pacific hub, and that is part of Maggie's vision of making sure that our stakeholders get services in their time zone, and they are able to have someone that can speak in local language. We will not be able to cover all the languages. The Asia Pacific, as you know, is a very diverse region, but it represents a step in the right direction. We also wanted to highlight the fact, in response to a lot of the feedback that we have gotten, we wanted to make sure that information was being made available to different stakeholders within the region. So the newsletter is something that we had since we started. A new thing that we added as well is a webinar. It's a calendar of webinars so that people within our time zone get to enjoy the webinar in their own time zone and have people live to talk through issues in their own time zone. And we wanted to make sure that there was a predictability in schedule. So it's always the second Thursday of in a bi-monthly way. It is always at the same time that would allow people from India and South Asia to join, as well as people that stretches out to the Pacific Islands to join in their time zone. So the first one that we did was on new GTLD applicants, because many of them are not traditionally registries, and you know, after the applications have been successful, they find themselves being registries, and then what's next? So a session to help people think through that in the region. The next one will be on contractual compliance, so that, you know, we can run through through with the registrars what the issues are, and we are always open to ideas about what should be within the webinar. So once every 2 months, on the exactly the same time, the Asia Pacific Hub will be giving a webinar. Please let us know what you're hearing from your own communities, the communities you represent, what you need, and we'll try to tailor the webinars according to your needs. Also, we are working on increased ICANN visibility in the region, and we're always looking for new friends to do things with. So we just had Communic Asia in Singapore, and we were very happy that we could work with Dot Asia as well as APNIC on a booth, so that we're reaching out beyond the usual people we see, so that within the industry... The industry, I mean, you know, when you talk about the ICT industry, it's a very broad and wide one. And sometimes I wonder if we're capturing enough of the players in the spectrum who should be interested in the events but have not understood us or know us well enough. So if you look at the diagram with the three circles, we are trying to bring more people into the circles as well. So that's an example. The fourth one, or the one that the point that talks about collaborative partnerships, is something that I'm very excited about. We have had fairly good success in working with different partners and friends in the region who have who may have expertise or who may have networks that are much wider and broader than what we have. And it's great that we are working together and leveraging on each other's strengths so that we collectively fulfill our objectives. Tomorrow, we will be talking with AP Railo on whether there's something that we can do together. So I see people nodding, and I'm really very thankful for the enthusiasm about this. We're really thinking through whether or not there is some institutionalized way where we can agree on certain priority items for the year ahead, and staff and AP Railo can work together to achieve that. So it's an exploration. We'll see where we go. The last point, again, next gen at ICANN, and we have people from NetMission here as well. You guys should be very proud. The last meeting was the green T-shirts. Now it's the blue T-shirts floating around. This is a pilot that started from the region, started from one of the stakeholders in the region in ALAC, and now has the successful pilot has become a global initiative thanks to the support from Sally and Nora's team, where we're really bringing fresh blood who are interested in the ideas that are shared at ICANN meetings but might be intimidated to just walk into a session and have all the acronyms and different things thrown out at them, to really bring them in a setting that is very welcoming. And the hope is that they can go back to their communities to share the news. And I'm very encouraged that after the Singapore meeting, after we had the first batch of Next Gen at ICANN participants, when I went to different events within the region, I see them emerging again and talking about internet governance issues. So in Hong Kong, I saw them again at Internet Society's Internet Hall of Fame events, where they took part in many of the conversations, and also in Singapore at IMBICS. So I'm very happy to see that the next gen participants who come to ICANN for the last ICANN meeting, taking an active interest in the issues that are being discussed here. I'm taking up a lot of airtime, so I should pass it on to my colleagues.
Thank you, Quack. Really good to see that engagement. When I first started with ALAC, we talked about from the edge. Do you remember, Olivier? You briefed me. You said from the edge to the middle. I'm fighting with Rodrigo for the microphone. And this is a perfect example of that strategy in action. That's exactly what the Next Gen project is.
And I think, it's Olivia speaking, I think we are seeing those people later on in future. Is it tomorrow or later on in the week we're having to see them?
Actually at the fair tonight.
At the fair? Okay. So we're going to see them tonight, just a few hours from now, the blue shirts. Okay, over to you.
Rodrigo de la Parra for the...
I'll try to be
want to highlight two of the projects that we're doing in our engagement strategy. And the reason I want to highlight these two is because in these two we have a strong participation from the folks from the Lac Rallo in the at large, and they are really making the difference in this. So one of them is what we call the one at the very end. It's called the Lac Space, Latin America and the Caribbean Space in ICANN meetings, and this is in response to one of the projects of the strategy that its aim as having a relevant place during the ICANN meetings, so that the agenda of ICANN is relevant to regional stakeholders. So actually yesterday in this very room, we had a packed room, close to 100 people on and off came to this meeting, and we didn't have enough time to finish with our agenda. It was not only about bad planning, believe me, it was about the great interest of everybody trying to participate and discuss subjects. In this occasion, we've chosen one of the topic has to do with FTAs and the internet, but we also shared experiences of regional IGFs, both in the Caribbean and in Latin America and the Caribbean as well. So that's one project. This has been happening now for three times in a row. And the other project I wanted to share with you is one project that's been led by Fatima and Dev, and is our communications plan. And our communications plan has been having tremendous progress. We have a communication manager based in Montevideo, and she's been helping this community group. We have now, let's say, a draft website, it's quite ready to go live. It's a regional website aligned with our digital strategy globally, but it's a place where you can see all of the regional initiatives and an interactive map of regional stakeholders that will be shown in that. Plus, this newsletter that we are publishing every 2 months, where it shows all of the activities we're engaging regionally, and also we provide information on what are the main issues happening in ICANN globally. So I will stop at that. I think those are the highlights and sake of the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo. And let's go to the next slide. It's in the Middle East.
Where's Baher?
Baher is here. Baher Esmat, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Yep. Baher Esmat, Middle East. So we've started the implementation of the Middle East strategy 1 year ago, right after the ICANN Durban meeting. And yesterday we had a session here in London reporting on what has been achieved. Just a quick highlights. Today we can say that we have two regional events added to the agenda of events in the Middle East in relation to ICANN and domain names. One is the Middle East DNS Forum, and the other one is the School on Internet Governance. Both events took place this year in Dubai and Kuwait, respectively. Both events have their own program committees that plan for the plan and develop the meeting agenda. So these are, in my view, two important events added to the list of events in the Middle East. A third highlight is the work of two important task forces, regional task forces, created through membership from community, one on Arabic script IDNs, and this is the task force that has been looking into the issue of IDN variants, and and they set up the first panel for label generations for IDN variants. And they're currently looking into more IDN issues, including universal acceptance. The other task force is the one on capacity building, which helps ICANN in planning the capacity building activities for the Middle East. And the reason for that is the capacity building was one of the main tracks or pillars of the Middle East strategy. So the strategy working group thought that there was a need to have this capacity building in place, capacity building task force in place. And in fact, this task force helped with the organization of the School on Internet Governance event regarding the program and the content of the event itself. One more thing, I guess. I think I'm done. I covered the task forces, the events. For just a very quick highlight, which is not shown on the screen, key partnerships with stakeholders in the region. Just yesterday, we announced the signing of two agreements with the Telecom Regulatory Authority of Egypt on the DNS Entrepreneurship Center. This is a regional center that will serve Africa and the Middle East, aiming at building capacities in the domain name sector, whether we're talking technical issues, policy issues, or business issues. The other agreement was signed with the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology of Qatar on engaging with the community in Qatar and the Arab region, particularly on promoting the multi-stakeholder model in internet governance at national and regional level. And just mentioning multi-stakeholder fora, I could also point you to the recent announcement by the Lebanon Internet Center, which is the first multi-stakeholder national forum in the Middle East. It was also announced a couple of weeks ago. So that's it for the Middle East, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Bahar. Very good work indeed. Sally?
Sorry, Olivier. Apologies. This microphone system is doing my head in. What I'm going to suggest, in the interest of time, so that we go to questions now, and if we have some time, I'm then going to ask Savi for Oceania and Jean-Jacques for Europe and Michael for Russia, Central Eastern Europe. But I think this is a logical breakpoint. So, gentlemen, apologies. We can certainly make sure that they lead off the session in the next meeting. And by then, they will probably have a lot more to report anyway. So this may be, a good way of organising the time. But I'm conscious we have a particular question to answer, and we may have more. So if that's OK, Olivier. Should we go to Tarek to answer the question that was raised about the models that we're using for engagement?
Yeah, thank you, Sally. Thank you, Olivier, for inviting me. And I'm glad definitely to touch on this question because it will reflect on other issues related to our overall IG strategy. As such, we have been embarking on a strategy of outreach and engagement on a government level and on an IGO level that is open, that is inclusive. And it was clear to us that we cannot be going on saying no to ITU meetings and UN meetings, and this is the only approach that we are taking. It was clear at the WICKET and at the WTPF. Therefore, Fadi was hoping that ICANN, with others and with the ISTARS, comes up with a process of building a multi-stakeholder engagement plan that includes government, private sector, as well as civil society. This has been clearly reflected in the high-level panels and was also the recommendation of the high-level panel, as well as the other strategic panels where the community was participating. And we found definitely in Brazil a good country country to align with and to work with in providing us with this leadership, because if we have started this with the US or the UK or whatever, I'm not in need to say to you what the response would have been. So it was clear that Brazil on the highest level, when FIDE started the engagement with their president, that they are ready to lead, because they are a democratic country, they are multi-stakeholder through the CGI to a great extent, and they have definitely an excellent penetration in internet, and as well politically they are very well positioned within the G77 group as well as the BRICS to help us in that. So this alliance with them definitely has been very positive, and although we had a very short time to prepare for Net Mondial, but because of the alliance and the players were right, I think we have had the success that we have seen, the participation that we have seen, and the model that we have seen, where governments were there lining up to speak, and private sector lining up to speak, and civil society lining up to speak, and other definitely players from the community. What does this mean? This reflected that there is a third way. There is not only the bipolar discussion that has been always there, either the multilateral model or completely the other extremes that are sometimes being presented by some friends. No, there is a midway where we can come together, and we have seen participation by the different countries. Some countries were not happy necessarily and showed some reservations, but it was clear that this was the minority. And yesterday we were very glad during the high-level government meeting we have seen great support for the Net Mondial outcomes, the principles, as well as the ecosystem, and looking forward to the operationalization of the Net Mondial outcome. Where does this stand from other fora? I think this was part of the question, specifically the IGF. This is not there to replace the IGF. The IGF is a very successful platform as such that we have been, as ICANN, supporting very clearly on a global level as well as a regional and national level. And ICANN continues to and will continue to support the IGF financially as well as participating in the session. This year in Istanbul is also a great example. I'm not in need to say to speak about details what ICANN has been doing last year to save the IGF of Bali. As such, at the last moment, so this is not the intention for the to replace the IGF, but we see the IGF as a discussion platform, a great discussion platform on a national, global, and regional level for the issues as such. But because it is under the UN umbrella, we are not able to take it further, to take actions very easily. We know that there was an improvement committee for IGF improvements, and unfortunately, we haven't seen until now that much improvement in that direction. So the IGF will continue to be our discussion platform, but we also want to reflect to governments and to the rest of the world that there is a platform like Net Mondial where governments on the highest level, with the support of presidents and prime ministers as such, that we can be participating at as such. So does this answer the question, Olivier?
I think that more than answers the question. Thank you very much, Tariq. It's quite a mouthful, and I think I'll probably have to listen to the recording afterwards to take in all of the information that
I'm happy even afterwards and during our cocktails or whatever, because, I mean, the issue is ongoing. It's not one-time issue, but it is an ongoing issue.
Thank you. Now, we have a queue in operation. The first person in the queue was Garth Bruin. After that, I've got Philip Johnson, Dave and Antilik Singh, and Sunny Liu. And I think we'll have to cut the queue at that position because we'll run out of time, and we'll actually amply run out of time. So, Garth, you have the floor.
Thank you, Garth Bruin, Nirala Chair. Sally, I'm going to argue that your staff is not yet complete, that There are no blind, deaf, or mobility challenged outreach VPs, and this is something that we've been bringing up again and again and again at meetings, and I've actually been very frustrated at this meeting in particular, because we've asked a few questions. We've asked if we can have more transcription of the meetings for the blind and the deaf, and we've been told that that's too expensive. We have asked why are there not more employees at ICANN who fall into these categories, and I was told that, well, that's an HR problem. And we asked about having real blind internet users test the interfaces and help develop the interfaces, and we were told, no, we're going to hire a consulting company. We don't want a consulting company in between the users and ICANN. So, I mean, can we make some kind of something on these issues?
Thank you, Garth. To the point about access, is Chris Mondini here? I don't think he's here. I'm not sure why. And I'm going to ask Garth that you and I and Chris take this up after this meeting.
Hang on. You've got a disability. Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to say a disability.
Microphone, please.
Yeah. That's what I'm about to say.
Let the cripple drag itself to the table.
They don't work.
Thank you. Project. Let the cripple drag itself to the table. I object wholeheartedly to that. We have an ad hoc working group, and I think that is the appropriate place. I also think, Garth, that whilst we, and I would include myself amongst us all, would fight very hardly to have no barriers of entry, I don't think that affirmative action requires compulsory employment of every type and subspecies of all of us. So let's take this reasonably. Let's work together to make accessibility simply baked into the DNA of everything this organisation does. Sorry, Sally, but you don't need to deal with any one of us. You need to deal with a small group of us.
Thank you, Cheryl. And you very skillfully anticipated what I was going to say, which is at either the last meeting we had of this or the one before, Chris Mondini volunteered to work with the group. And he's here. And he has been working. That was well done, Chris.
Yes.
Working with Cheryl and the Disability Ad Hoc Group, could you just give us an update? Sorry to bounce on you the minute you walk into the room. And Cheryl's made the very good point that this group exists, it's functioning, it knows what it's doing, but it would be good if you could give us an update.
Hi, it's Chris Mondini for the record. I seem to really walk in right at the most opportune moments. Listen, I'm delighted to be here and to have a chance to talk about this. I honestly would say if I were going to give you an update, I would turn to Cheryl for the update, because I think that what we've done is we've been able to convene a group. We had a conversation about this, and we were a little bit disappointed we weren't able to get together for this particular meeting to have another conversation about it. But I know there are 267 sessions going on at this particular ICANN. And so I had been with the Neuralo earlier today, and Garth had made mention of some issues that had arisen with regard to this particular issue, and had not had a chance to follow up with him on that. But from what I... to the extent that we are organized, that we have a working group, that we have a leader of the working group, that we have people that are bringing issues and expertise to the table and that are endeavoring to keep in touch, informally here, while we're here, those of us who are here in London, whether it's by email conversation or an actual meeting, that work is going forward. I think there's more to be done. And I think in terms of sort of the charter and working out exactly the areas of focus and so forth, that there's more pinpoint focus to Cheryl's last point that I heard when I was walking in, whether it relates to ICANN itself and its own tools and its own accessibility to communities and participants from all walks of life and all backgrounds, or also with regard to the core work of ICANN in terms of its spread of the internet, supporting a scalable and interoperable internet, supporting a naming and addressing system that is innovative and helps people gain access. These are all the topics that are teed up. though I don't think that we've been able to actually make traction on them yet. So I will be very happy to help move this forward and to continue to work with the working group to make better progress.
Thanks, Chris. Next is Philip Johnson. And we have very little time, so if you can just compress, we still have three people to ask questions. Philip, you have the floor.
Okay. The large group are very important groups in every country that can help facilitate the best local catalyst in facilitating the global outreach mission. An example was in December last year when, on a short notice, one of the managers of Africa informed me that, look, I'm going to Liberia to do an outreach. In a short time, we were able to mobilize several stakeholders, including the government, the regulatory authorities, ministers. And when the Yawivi got on the ground, he was so pleased that he had a successful meeting. Now, what plans are there to enhance the capacity of ALS on the ground to be more effective in responding to the many follow-up questions? Because whenever the team leaves, all of the questions come to the ALS. Look, you were here the last time. You said that you help us, you show us a lot of information. What are you doing? Are you coming back yet? So I said, no, we have to respond to them. So what capacity or what are you doing? What plans do you have to build the capacity of the large structures? Thank you.
It's a big question, and we're running out of time, but let me just say one thing. Patrick referred to the build-out of the regional web environment. And this will become, over the next 6 to 9 months, a fairly significant part, certainly of my time and of the resources that we're dedicating. The answer should be that anybody who has a question about follow-up knows where to go and has a full resource bank by region and by stakeholder group. This is the goal. We're not there yet. It's quite a big job. The existing website has 60,000 pages, so the scale is huge. But this is now at the front of the queue of the next piece of work. And ALAC, I believe the ALAC are absolutely essential to each one of the regional vice presidents as we build out those regional web areas. So hopefully that will also take pressure off you, as you will have somewhere to send people in there, in the right language, in the right time zone. That's the goal.
Thank you very much, Sally, and I've asked at-large staff to make a note of that as an action item so that we don't lose it until next meeting. Next, we have Devanant Tilak-Singh. Again, very short question, please.
Thank you. Devanant Tilak-Singh speaking. I was just wondering, just watching all of the different regional engagement strategies, which are all very, very useful and amazing. Do the stakeholder engagement group actually like compare the actual engagement strategies, and how should I put it? Line them up and see if there's any sort of synergies that could be explored, that type of stuff. Do you all do that type of evaluation?
Thank you. Very good question. Yes, a lot. We meet every single week. Each one of these guys behind sitting with me have their own plans, but they also see everybody else's. And in the staff team, we have a consolidated planner. This is probably too much information, but you've asked the question, and I would like to assure you there is a very high level of visibility between the different regions. And now that the regional engagement programs with the community groups are really getting some head of steam, we can also compare and help community members talk to each other to help build capacity where we've had a successful program in one region. We could, like webinars, for example, is a very good example where we're almost taking something, you know, in a box and taking it out and using it for another region. So there's always more we could do, but this is quite a connected group. And the more we can do that as a community group, which I know is hard because the scale is huge, But joining up with the Heidi's team to make sure that we do that as much as possible, this is an important priority.
Thank you very much, Sally. And yes, we are making this an action item, please. Don't ask me to say the action item exactly as I want it recorded, because you know how to record it, so please. Next, we have one last person. Yes, Sunny Liu.
Hello, everyone. This is Sunny from NetVision, who also participates in the Next Gen at ICANN in Singapore. So before to ask my question, I really got to thank the team for their hard work. It's definitely not an easy job. My question is, actually, I would like to hear if there is any priority in engaging the right people or the community group from a sea of organization in the region. Would that be based on the profession of the particular person, or just like the industry that the group is focused on? So that's one question. And the second question is also very simple. From the African part, I've heard that there is an internship program that is to engage more youth. But I would like to know if there is any contractual duty of the interns that they not only add a color to their CV, but also and they also will be able to contribute their work to the whole discussion of internet governance issues.
I'll ask the first question. I'll answer the first question. Pierre, I'm going to ask you to answer the second question. But he's disappeared. Okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to suggest, actually, in the interest of time. I will answer the first question in the round, and I will ask Pierre to directly come back to you with the answer to the second question. You can have it on the record, all right? Is that helpful? Because that's quite a specific question. I want to give you an accurate answer. To the first question, if I understood you correctly, you're really asking about our targeting strategy, our outreach. When you saw the model at the beginning, which many of you have seen before, of the concentric circles, so from the outside to the middle, we have spent a great deal of time thinking about this question. Who should we talk to and why do they care? Because this is really critical. When we stay in our existing world, we know why people care. They are already here. And in a way, this in our very central circle is our ICANN family, the people that are at meetings in particular, and they're very active in the community. They form working groups. They lead SOAC groups. The job there is to make sure that we take care, that we work together. In the middle section, we are usually, our definition to help you is, we're in the internet space. So people in that section are usually where, that's where the regional programs are, the regional outreach, but we're still in an area where people are broadly in our space. They're not necessarily in the domain name space, but they're in the web space more broadly. And this is a good example of our government engagement strategy is a very good example of this, where we are engaging like the high-level government meeting yesterday. There are many ministers there who really are not familiar with the domain name system, but they do understand the broader internet and ICT agenda. And then the really far out is the much wider business communities, civil society groups, who may really not understand why they are affected by our work. So with them, the question is, what is the right connection? And to give you an example, Christopher Mondini, who you just heard speak, is also our head of business engagement. And he has found that the debate around internet governance has been a really superb way of engaging CEO-level business people around the world. They may not understand why the global address book of the internet is relevant to them, but they understand about the fact that if the internet fragments and balkanizes, their ability to do their business effectively will be threatened. So it's about finding the right conversation. But if you're interested in this, you will find a lot of interest in this group. We can take it offline. And Olivier is calling time, and he's right. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Sally. I'm calling your time because you have a hard stop. We have a break now. Just one last thing, an AI, just to put to the record, there seems to be a problem with the Global Partnerships webpage, but I think it might have changed. So I've put an action item for our staff to check with IT staff on that. And there's also a note in there, a comment that the Next Gen at ICANN initiative should be expanded. Hopefully should be expanded to other countries, more specifically in the developing world, so not only in some of the places. So yeah, that's also ongoing. One last thing for me, I had made a note, the map, yes, that map, very interesting map. Can we share that also with staff? Because there certainly is much interest to map our ALSs to that map as well.
You have it, it's on the web.
It's on the
public website.
You can use it, exactly. If we can use it for that, then let's do an action item as well so that we follow up on that. And then finally, the ICANN Speakers Bureau. So far, we haven't had any feedback on what they've been up to because originally it was just ICANN staff and ICANN board members. It was always the wish of at large to be able to include within that Speakers Bureau people in the community that have the knowledge and the ability to reach those communities in their native language, etc. So please think about this one. And we'll do that in a follow-up as well, and I hope that staff has just put AI Speakers Bureau. With this, we'll let you go. Thank you very much, Sally, and thank you, Tarek. And thank you to all your team who's come to see us.